Oh, good morning, good morning, man, y'all look fantastic. Good morning, Christ City Church. Good to see you, good to see everybody here. Hope the holidays were good to you. I see some of y'all got some new clothes on. Good job, looking sharp, got presents, gift cards. I don't know how it worked at your place, but you're looking sharp today. My name is Matthew. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ City. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, really glad that that you're here. And again, let me add my voice to the chorus to say Happy New Year to you. There's been a lot that's actually happened since we were in this room just a few weeks ago. The winter solstice happened, December 21st. We sort of went through the longest night of the year, and though you might not be able to tell, since then each day has gotten progressively longer. That nights don't last all the time. Already the days are getting longer. Christmas happened. I hope you had a great Christmas. Merry Christmas. I hope it was meaningful and festive. It was great to see a lot of you showed up, more than we could fit. Some of y'all were like up the stairs and I don't know, like in the doorway of the bathroom to join us for Christmas Eve service. Really glad that you were there. It was meaningful. Just so that you know, public service announcement, 352 days left until Christmas of 2024. If you want to get started early, or just be like me and just watch the days clip by and be like, a couple of days, I think I can get it done. However you want to do. And the new year. Happy New Year. That just happened. All that just happened over the last 2 weeks. And here we are. I think this time of year, it's always good to sort of look back and then to look ahead. There are a few things to note. Justin gave you sort of what's up ahead and things you could sign up for on your
connection card.
I mean, y'all are solid. That's what I'm talking about. Alert and sprite this 2024. A few things over 2023 that you should know about. Small groups hosted over 100 people in the different small groups that meet throughout the week in our city and throughout the DMV. In these groups, we're seeing friendships formed and faith strengthened and an ever-deepening ache for the things of God. That's what we saw in 2023. This year at Christ City, we partnered with Fuller Theological Seminary in California, and 30 leaders from Christ City went through Fuller's spiritual formation curriculum that was facilitated by the seminary. These were all leaders that lead small groups and ministry teams and aspects of outreach within our church, with the aim of equipping them so that they could then be disciples of others within our church. We learned about our neighborhood and about our city. We took time to continue learning about this place that we call home. We took prayer walks and we went on 8th Street walking tours to understand this very community in which our church meets. We visited a number of historic DC churches in order to understand the ways that the Spirit of God has moved in this city throughout the history of this city, in order that that might inform how the Spirit might work in our lives and in our city moving, in our church moving forward. But we didn't just learn and we just didn't pray about our city, that we served this area. We served Thanksgiving meals just a couple months ago at Rosedale Recreation Center. 100 folks in our neighborhood who were in a hard way this holiday season, we were able to say, hey, God bless you. We gave away backpacks, loads of backpacks, lots of backpacks we gave away. It's fun to kind of see them showing up when I come up here at mine. I'm like, all right, we gave you that backpack, bro. You don't know it, but that's my backpack. I mean, it's yours, but I got you that backpack. I'll just keep that to myself, though. We partied with our neighbors on 8th Street. I think it was a kajillion people showed up on 8th Street, and we gave out a kajillion popsicles and said, God bless you. We served regularly here at Minor. Justin mentioned we served the students and the staff and the families by doing campus cleanups and by serving the parent-teacher organization through our monthly child care. But not only locally, we commissioned a team to serve alongside our friends with Paz y Esperanza in Peru. We listened to their work of faith-informed justice and peacemaking as they fight throughout Latin America for God's shalom. We baptized a handful of people who came to a place in their life and a place in their faith where they wanted to let their community of faith know that they had placed their faith in Jesus. They were following in the ways of Jesus. And friends, this is just a sampling. This is to say nothing, but just announce the Advent offering. This is to say nothing of the tens of thousands of dollars that Christ City has given to those in need, to those doing beautiful things for the kingdom. And it's to say nothing about all of the individual things that each of you are doing in your own neighborhoods or in your own workplaces, and all of the ways that you have been prompted by the Holy Spirit to be a voice of compassion and care and truth and justice, to be a gospel voice and point others to hope that's found in Jesus. Church, it's been a remarkable 2023. And we're a week into 2024. What might God do in us this year? And what might God do through us this year? As we look ahead to the year ahead, I am filled with hope and with just dead level anticipation to see where the story of Christ City goes in 2024. My prayer for this church, for Christ City, for me, for us, is that we, here's the big vision, that we'll just keep going. I don't know if that's motivational enough for you. I really want to stir your souls, but that's all I got, that we just keep on keeping on. That we will continue down the path that the Lord has set us on. That we will continue to see people not just come to Christ City, but to come to Christ. That we will see those within our church find their way to faith for the first time, or to find their way back to faith after a season of struggle. That we might in some small way be used by God to fan into flame a fire of faith in their lives. I pray that we continue to serve at Minor and at Rosedale and throughout the district and throughout the DMV. And I pray that God uses all of us to remind all of us that you too are called to be agents of good news in your neighborhoods and with your neighbors and in your workplaces and any of the places where you find yourself with an opportunity to remind somebody that God loves them and is inviting them into relationship with them and a shared purpose in God's kingdom. I pray that we continue to join with those that champion justice and that are working for the common good in our city. That we never sink into the cynical belief that the way things are is all the way things will ever be. That we push against, the oppression and the exclusion of God's image bearers and continue being a prophetic voice of godly discomfort to those in power and a pastoral voice of godly care to those being ground down by violence and poverty. This is a remarkable song. I was going to sing it, but then I don't want to show out too much. Thinking about it, but it's a remarkable song that's sung by Bishop Paul S. Morton called Don't Do It Without Me. A song, it's a prayer asking God to do all the things. Do the miracles. Do the healing, do the blessing, do the transformation. God, do all of the things that is needed in a place and among a people. But it's a prayer that's asking God, when you do those things, don't do them without me. Lord, let me join you in what you're doing. The lyrics say, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do it without us. If you're blessing in this season, please don't do it without me. Whatever mending you're doing in this season, whatever repairing or restoring, Lord, let us be a part of that work. The emotion of the song is one of pursuit. It's like running after the Lord, or maybe better said, alongside the Lord. It's a sense of having one's sights set on the things of God and wanting to be about those things in this season. It's a prayer of purpose. It's like one who has seen the marvelous acts of God and has experienced God's deep love and says to themselves, I want more of that, and begins pursuing that. For Bishop Morton, and he sings with his choir, so I'll add them too, for Bishop Morton and his choir. They are setting their sights on God and God's kingdom and God's work in the world, and they set their hearts on God's love, and they settled for themselves that this is what they are pursuing. And they are saying in joy and kindness and prayer and petition, Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. Saints, I think my question for you is, what will you pursue this year? What will you run after? What are you going to chase? Perhaps a better, maybe more pointed way to say it is, what will you love this year? So the truth is, what we pursue, what we set our sights on, what we order our lives around, those are our loves, are they not? What will we love this year? And how is our pursuit of that love governed by Jesus? As Christian author and philosopher James K.A. Smith writes in his book, You Are What You Love, he says, Jesus is a teacher who doesn't just inform our intellect, but forms our very loves. He isn't content to simply deposit new ideas in your mind. He's after nothing less than your wants, your loves, and your longings. Yesterday, January 6th, I know it marks a whole bunch of other things in the life of our country, but as followers of Jesus, it was Epiphany. Epiphany is a day that happens 12 days after Christmas, and it celebrates the arrival of the Magi, the wise men, the three kings. There's more than three, but it's how we think of it. It's their arrival to see and to worship Jesus after his birth. In some cultures and some customs, gifts are actually given on this day as well, not just Christmas, and it's called Three Kings Day. Epiphany means manifestation. It's when God was made manifest in the person of Jesus, particularly to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish world. The Magi were those of non-Jewish backgrounds, yet they figured out how to make their way to Jesus. And in this way, Epiphany is a celebration of the turn in the gospel wherein we get another glimpse into God's kingdom that includes those outside the covenant with Israel. We begin to see in the New Testament that God's work of redemption has the whole world as its aim. God's invitation isn't just for a set group of people, but is always meant to extend out to the world and to those who are viewed as outsiders. When the Magi show up, we read in the New Testament that they brought gifts for Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold to honor a king. Frankincense is burned during worship. And myrrh is an oil that's used for burial. They were prophetic gifts given to Jesus. As we consider the things that we will pursue, the things that we will love this year, collectively and individually, I think there's lessons we might can glean from the Magi's arrival with Jesus. Wisdom from the Magi, these wise ones that we could do well to consider in 2024. We, like the wise men, as we seek to pursue Christ this year, there are things that we'll need to do. And I just want to say I'm grateful to a pastor friend of mine, Greg Gibson, in Memphis. He's shaped much of my thinking around this. I think the first lesson that we should note as we move into the year ahead is that if we're going to set our sights on God and God's kingdom, that we're going to have to chase that. We're going to have to run. We're going to have to move a little bit. We're actually going to have to pursue some things in our lives with intention and discipline and dedication. There's going to be some things that we'll need to run towards. There's going to be some things we need to run from as well. But the running towards first, let's take a look. Matthew 2, beginning of verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Where is one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. The Magi, they were from the east. We're not sure of the exact location. Tradition tells us it was Persia, perhaps Ethiopia. But it wasn't an easy trek. The ways for them to get from one spot to another, yet they set a goal. They set a plan, and they traveled together in a community. When each year, one of the tools that I use is a tool for spiritual formation that my spiritual Jedi master, Reverend Dr. Justin Fung, developed and introduced me to a few years ago. It's called the Spires Plan. We'll actually share a bit more about this with you in a few weeks, but just as a teaser, I'll say this. Each of the letters in Spires represents different aspects of one's life. And I use it to think about, I've shared a little bit of this several months ago, but I used to think about this in ways of, how do I sense God wanting to shape me in the year ahead in each of these areas? Spiritual, physical, intellectual, relational, emotional, and serving. I use it because it just helps me develop a plan. For those that know me, plans are, I'm more of an improvisation guy than a planning guy. You want to plan a battle, I'm probably not your guy. You want somebody to fight that battle all day. You pick me first. You know, like, that's, but I want to, you know, I don't want to just sort of float around in my weaknesses. Like, I want to, so I need a plan. So I use the Spires. I use it because it helps me develop a plan. Now, I'm still working on one for 2024, but my 2023 Spires, it included areas that I wanted to grow in. It served as a roadmap for me for the future me that I sensed God wooing me towards. I won't share everything, but a few things for me. Under spiritual, it included Sabbath keeping, which for me meant 2 o'clock Friday to 2 o'clock Saturday. Those were that was the 24 hours that I wanted to hold that I stepped away from work. I had journaling goals. I process best when I'm just writing and journaling. So I had journaling goals about how many times a week that I wanted to journal. I think in 2024, I'm going to add a driving goal because over the past December, I've driven a lot and I went to Great Falls and some other places. I just realized that was really nurturing for my soul. So I actually think I'm going to not just include journaling goals, but I think I'm going to have driving goals in 2024 just because of the ways that the Spirit meets me in that spot. Physical. I know you don't know this now, but when I was younger, I had a giant, I was redheaded, still am, just kind of moved. So I haven't been going to my skin doctor. I'm just going to tell you what's up. I had a few things that we got a little concerned about, but I hadn't gone since, because I was like, pandemic, I'm probably good. So it was on my Spire goal under physical. It's probably more than you wanted to know about me. Just like, hey, it's a vulnerability. I'm here with you. I'm just, you know. I had intellectual goals, reading goals, and writing goals. I had other intellectual goals that I have no idea how they made it into my Spire plan. One was learning to sail, and one was blacksmithing. I just, you know, some goals, maybe they're premature, you know? It's sort of Lord deposits a vision and you're like, yeah. And it's like, well, but I just, you know, think on it, you know, pray, discern. I don't know. I'm not sure. Still thinking about it. I had some relational goals. I actually put in, I'm not the best at this. I put in the number of times that I wanted to call my mom each month because it wasn't on there. So I had emotional goals, beginning counseling and spiritual direction, both of which I've done. I set a goal, I set a plan, but then I also set a rhythm for how I'm going to hit that. Some plans you set, but you know that you're not going to begin immediately. Some beginnings, they aren't until you're well into the year. But the North Star, the guiding light remains. What am I running towards? By God's grace and by God's invitation, what am I pursuing and what's my plan to get there? The other thing about the Magi, by the way, they roll deep. Like, we call them three kings, but actually it seems like there would have been a great deal more of them. They traveled in communities. Traveling in community is, you know, let me just say this. I know it's already been said, but I'm just another plug. Small groups begin in just a couple of weeks, so set your schedule now. Don't wait until the first week or like second week and be like, let me look at the schedule. Let me, you know, like, set it now. What small group's going to help you pursue the loves that God has deposited into your heart? And I do want to say this, like, chemistry in a small group, it's fine and it's helpful, but it's not nearly as important as a community of people that are committed to your growth in Christ and the pursuits that God has placed in your soul. Surround yourself with those people, chemistry or not. What will you run towards this year in order to pursue the things that God has placed on your heart? In order to join God in the renewal of all things in this place that we call home. Maybe some things for you to run towards, but there may also be some things for you to run from. As we look at the Magi in the story, verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, a little bit of background. Herod was the regional king that was placed in power by Rome to govern Judea, which is the region where Jesus was born. Herod was viewed as a puppet king, and he was wicked. When he learned about the prophecies that indicated that there was to be another king born, referencing Jesus, Herod was unsure of who this would be or where it would be, and this evil paranoia crept up in him. And he enacted a decree that all of the male children under 2 were to be killed. He instituted infanticide. So when the Magi were looking for Jesus, they initially go to Herod because they're like, well, I think maybe Jerusalem's probably a good spot to look for this guy. So they go to Herod and they ask him, hey, where can they find the newborn king? Herod didn't know. He's like, whoa, you're looking for what now? And there was an interesting conversation. And Herod says, now listen, when you find him, come back and let me know so I can worship him too. Sort of, you know, a little bit of doublespeak there. And the Magi, unaware of Herod's plan, they left. they find Jesus later. But as Matthew notes in his gospel, rather than returning to Herod, they head back home by another way that didn't have them passing by Herod's place. You see, the Magi, they ran towards Jesus, but they had to run from Herod. There are things in this world that do not have your best interest in mind. There are things in this world that you will need to run from. You ever have the sense that, like, some days you're like, man, I think the world is, like, trying to kill me, like today. Like, you know, driver's driving kind of crazy, or, you know, you're just like, dude, what, like, everything is, like, trying to get me. I've shared this in my house. We have had a leak in this one particular spot in my living room, I think 4 times. It's in the same spot. The spot is directly over the chair that I sit in every day. Sit in that chair to think and ponder on the things of the Lord. Sit in that chair to watch the Cowboys play. Sit in that chair to nap. And the sky literally falling on my place, all constant. There are some things in this world that just don't have your best interest in mind. There are systems and structures and powers and principalities that seek to steal and kill and destroy your life. There's relationships that don't have your best interest in mind. There are things, there are people, there are situations that you've been hoping will change, or hoping that you could fix, or hoping that would just adjust, that you might actually, for the sake of your flourishing, for the sake of the things that God wants to do in your life, to do through you, there may be circumstances or relationships that you simply need to run from. Sins that have shackled you, or habits that are malforming you, or patterns of thinking or belief that need to be shed. Run from those things, saints, so that you can pursue Christ and life with Him more fully and more faithfully. I think sometimes running, it might look like guardrails or accountability, or just ways we might to eliminate things that keep you from running towards and pursuing that to which God has called you. I had a conversation with my kids. We're talking about the phones, and I use the screen time to limit how much, you know, on one app or another, and I shared that with them because I was like, hey, what do you think? I'm not just trying to tell them, man, I'm gonna put some time limits on you, and you know, that's it. I go to invite them into the conversation, feel like, well, what do you think is good for you, but also to share with them, here's the limits that I have. Because even dad isn't strong enough to resist the temptations of screen time if I'm not careful. And sometimes I need help. Sometimes we need help running from the things that aren't in our best interest. And I want to say this, that running from things, it's not weakness. It's a grace. It's a mercy. It's a sign of love. Sometimes we got to run towards things. We got to run away from things. But I think for us to also consider what it means for us to pursue the things of God this year, we may have to fight or endure certain circumstances as well. Verse 9, after they heard the king, the wise men, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen, when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think about this turn in the story, that the Magi, they leave their homeland, and they're like, all right, we got to go. We have to go worship. There's a king that we sense a wooing towards, someone that we want to go and worship, and they just take off. They walk, camel rides, I don't know, like what. But they got there. They took off. And like, all right, we're going. They go to Jerusalem after this long walk, and they arrive there. Some traditions believe that the wise men were, as I mentioned, from Persia, from modern-day Iraq. That's 900 miles. They arrive in Jerusalem. They're like, hey, we're here. We just went through all of the crossed rivers, jungles, oasis. I'm thirsty. Like, ran out of dates somewhere. Like, we just... And we're here to worship. They get to Jerusalem, and it's like, not here. There's nobody was born. We don't know what you're looking for. And they're like, dang, we got to keep going? More journeys? More? We got to endure a little bit longer? A couple years ago, the year before last, my son Elias and I, we were in Peru, visited Machu Picchu, and we hiked a section of the Inca Trail. And it's a 2,000-foot elevation gain. So basically, it's like just it's just straight up and curves, I think, even. Like it's tough. It's hard. Now, we get to the spot, and, you know, you're trying to go up. You hike it, and then you crest past the Sun Gate, and then you can see Machu Picchu. But the thing is, we got to this one spot, and then we stopped and rested. And then you can see me, like, I'm thinking about my life choices, because I've just hiked and I'm sitting there. And then our guide says, now listen, we have one. And I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm just going to turn a corner, boom. And then, like Machu Picchu is going to be right there. And he's like, we have one more thing to do, and it's called the Gringo Killer. And then looks at me, and he smiles. I'm like, what? He said, what it is it's straight up, and they carve the rocks, and you kind of have to kind of scramble it, and it's like 37,000 miles up, and you just gotta go. And I'm like, I don't time out. Like, hang on. Can we pray? Is there another? No, just Gringo Killer. That's what you gotta do. And I'm like, okay. And then before I know it, he turns around and he just up he goes. And Elias is like, all right, bet, Gringo. And he just goes. And so I took a picture. And clearly, I'm behind him. I'm like, man, this will be my last vision of life and my son going up the Gringo Killer before we go through the Sun Gate and see the vast expanse of the valley where Machu Picchu is. But we make it. And I'm here to tell you the story. This gringo didn't get killed. I made it, you know, bones scattered. Like, I don't know. I just focused. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a prophet. And I can't see into 2024 future. But what I do know is that in 2024, we're going to have some hard days. We're going to hit a wall or two. We're going to experience fatigue at different points, maybe even exhaustion. Some days, some nights, some seasons, they might seem long. And yet, if we are to pursue the things of God in our lives and in our world, there will be days where we will have to fight and fight through, or we will endure. James Spider Martin was a photographer for the Birmingham News in 1965, and many of the most iconic images of the civil rights movement, particularly in Alabama, are those of Spider Martin. He captured poignant and powerful images of the Bloody Sunday riots in Selma. Dr. King, once in talking to Spider, he said, Spider, the whole world saw your pictures. He said the Voting Rights Act was passed because of your images, Spider, 1965. One of the images that Spider Martin captured was of the bruised and blistered feet of a Montgomery resident during the Montgomery bus boycott. On the image, when he took it and printed it, he wrote, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested. The quote was from one of the elders of the Montgomery movement, Mother Pollard, of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery. Mother Pollard was 72 at the time of the bus boycott. And after months of the boycott, Dr. King, he noticed that the elderly were bearing the greatest brunt of the boycott, and it wasn't easy because of their age to walk as they were. Dr. King had suggested to Mother Pollard that she take the bus if she needs to. And that's when she replied, my feet are tired, but my soul is rested. We'll keep the boycott. And the boycott continued, lasting well over a year. This past December, we celebrated the 67th year of the end of the Montgomery bus boycotts. There may be things this year that you will need to endure, but saints, know that you do not endure on your own, but that you are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that is cheering you on and inviting you to pursue the things of God in your life and in the world. Let's run together. Let us endure together for the sake of what God wants to do in us. 2024 can feel perilous, even 7 days in, yo. Insurrectionists showed up again yesterday in our city, reminding us that America continually teeters on the edge of chaos. Violence continues to reign in the streets of D.C., and the drumbeats of war pound loudly in Ukraine, Sudan, and Palestine, even as Israel bombs Bethlehem on Christmas Day. Not the best start, but we will continue to pray for peace and fight for justice and display compassion, provide care, proclaim the gospel, and in our living, protesting, prophesying, we are pointing ourselves and our world to the day when God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Because they are the things to which Christ calls us. The things that Christ calls us towards and urges us to be about. And sometimes when you reach that semi-summit, you think it's the end, and you're like, oh, snap. There's like a wall of rocks I got to crawl over. Don't despair. Continue and endure. And then maybe the last thing, I'll just say this. I started by asking you, what is it that you want to pursue this year? What do you want to love this year? Whatever it is that we sense God calling us to love this year, to pursue this year, whatever it is, it will require us to run towards some things, to run from some things, to endure some things. But sometimes we will have to wait for the Lord to do things that only the Lord can do. When the Magi arrived in Jerusalem and they talked to King Herod, asking where the newborn king would be born, Herod calls in his scholars together to try and figure out the answer. Verse 4, when Herod had called them together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. What the scholars read is the prophecy of that a future ruler would emerge from Bethlehem. It's a passage from the Old Testament book of Micah, 700 years before Christ's birth. We touched on this theme of waiting and anticipation in our Advent series, so I won't belabor up this point except to say this. Waiting in the Bible, it's never passive. It's never a passive activity. It's always an anticipatory work, a readying, a preparation that's mixed in with the waiting. For the people of God, waiting is never, it's never a passive sense, but as we mentioned in our Waiting for God Advent series, waiting is an active, seeking, listening, acting sense of waiting. For those that waited for God to show up in their lives or to show up in their circumstances or in their families or in their worlds, they waited when their backs were against the wall, yet they trusted in God's never-ending promises of salvation. This year, we may have to spend some time waiting, and yet in the waiting, God is still with us and still working in us. During our Advent season series a few weeks ago, Pastor Justin helped us reflect on what it means for us to wait on the Lord with joy. And during his sermon on that theme, he said, what God is doing in us while we wait is at least as important as what we think we are waiting for. Saints, when you find yourselves in a season of waiting, be not discouraged. Continue pursuing the things of God, even in the waiting moments. As author Justin Early writes in his book, The Common Rule About Waiting, he says, learn to wait and to look around. Look at all the people with their stories and their lives just as real and just as beautiful and just as painful as yours, and be present and learn to wait, and learn to long, and learn to remember that all of creation waits for the King to return. For the things that we love, well, we wait for those things. We wait for our loved ones to return. We wait for reunion. We wait for healing. We wait for affirmation. We wait for truth. We wait for a new season of our favorite show. We wait for love. And we wait for Christ. Even as we run. And even as we endure. Dear friends, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. And your pursuits this year, and your loving this year, and your pursuits of Christ, and of the passion that Christ has placed in front of you, run towards Christ and away from that which would distract you. Fight for the love of Christ and the love that He's deposited into your soul. Wait for love, not in the passive, nonchalant way of waiting, but in an active, being present in each moment until arrival way of waiting. My sense is that if we do this, we follow in the footsteps of our forefathers, the Magi, then this year will indeed be one for the ages, for the sakes of our souls, and for the well-being of our community. Let me pray for us.